rye. Do you remember the poem, the thankful poem that was on the wall? That monk wrote this book, and it's called The Miracle of Suffering. And the other day I just opened it randomly because I thought, what does it have to say? And it talks about essence. But it's kind of long. I don't know if maybe I should let you all read it if you want to.
No, read it to us.
It's called Grasping the Essentials. Happiness depends on how you take it in your status. If you want to be a happy monk, you must understand clearly what your monkhood is. If you want to be a monk and a superstar or a model in a monastic robe, then you will start to feel ill at ease. If you are a monk and want to have a car or a residence worth $1 million baht or 100 million baht, you will be very unhappy as long as you have not accumulated enough of those worldly possessions or haven't got hold of those things. But if you are clear that you have become a monk in order to leave behind worldly possessions and abandon desire, you will stay on track with fewer needs and growing happiness. And then he talks about essence. Therefore, the first definition of being happy is to grasp the essence of who you are. I thought this was interesting because it's what we've been talking about. If you are a monk with a good, it's written kind of in, it's been translated, and it's not like perfect English. So if you are a monk with a idea of leaving behind worldly possessions, then you will be a happy monk. If you are a politician, the essence of being a politician is to work for the common good and the public interest. For any politician who works for this cause, a show of spirit is very easy because you're not only looking to get votes from the constituency or for personal gain. But if you think that politics is about personal interest, you will never be happy. The phrase happiness and benefit is the term used by His Majesty the King when he ascended the throne. We will reign in righteousness for the happiness and benefit of the Siamese people at large. This does not necessarily refer to material benefits. When the king rode in the motorcade down Ratchadiman Avenue, the people at the roadside shed tears of happiness. His gracious presence and
magnanimity
gave Thay so much happiness. This is the profound meaning of the term happiness and benefit, hardly concerning monetary gain. Recently, Her Royal Highness Princess Maha Chakri Srinhorn went to preside over an inauguration of a library in my hometown. She only had to walk into the temple and the people on the roadside shed tears of happiness. They found it hard to believe that she would visit a small remote town. How could she possibly visit them? This is a happiness and benefit more profound than material gain. Hence, if politicians think of the happiness and benefit of the people, they will have a long future ahead of them. But if they only think of self-interest, then their careers are doomed to end soon. If you are an investor, you will be happy when you make profit. But if you want to be an investor and a monk at the same time, you will immediately have a conflict of interest. Therefore, you must be clear what you want to do with your life. If you want to be an investor and become successful in your career and want to pay back to society, you will be an investor with double accomplishments. Take Warren Buffett as an example. He is a world-class, super-rich investor who has made a tremendous fortune in his career. He even surpasses Bill Gates in the size of his fortune. If you read his biography, you will find that he's very down to earth. He drives his own car. He wears simple clothes. He was asked of his secret for being so successful, and he said, "Be satisfied with what you have and know your own strength. If you know the real essence of what you are, you will not be misguided. If you are not misguided, you will be very happy. If you are a husband, be a good husband without being misguided, and you will be happy. However, if you are misguided and have an affair, that's a disaster. Therefore, the essence of happiness is right here. Whatever you are, you must get hold of its essence, and you will see that happiness is right there within your reach. A life that looks nonstop for inessential things is a life that is so tiring, so exhausting. When will you be able to reach your goal? You go on and on until in the end you realize you are so old. But if you have set a goal, when you are there, you will be happy. Once there, you set a new goal. Happiness is the rungs of a ladder that you continue to step up and up. In my writing career, at first, I just wrote for the sake of writing. I wrote daily journals. I was happy with that. I wrote my diary without anyone reading it. I was happy, and the more so when some friends peeked a look at it and read. I was so happy to have secret fans, so I left my diary lying around casually so friends could read it. I thought further that being a columnist, I would be happy, and this led to the compilation into a book. I was happy when it became a book, and I hoped for a larger readership. When I got my wish, I was happy again. You see how happiness is like the rungs of a ladder? It continues on and on. But if you don't have a set goal, you may not have any indicator to know you're there. The life that goes on without incremental goals will seem as if it is going nowhere and can indeed be very discouraging.
Nice. Thank you. And you got a message from Siddhartha.
I did.
It is interesting how we've been talking about the essence and happiness and what it takes to be a monk and how they've given everything up and with that book.
So I asked about essence. And it started out, essence is the key to happiness. This was before I read that. Essence is the key to happiness, which all Westerners seek in the peace of the East, yet do not always understand why. What is a why? There's going to be two ways I'm going to talk about why. When I go like this, I mean this why. Otherwise, it's a W-H-Y.
Okay.
What is a why?
W-H-I? W-A-I?
If I go like this, it's this why. Otherwise, it's why. W-H-Y.
Okay.
What is a why? Why should a human ask why? We say always ask why. So many answers still the heart in the why. Do we mean why the questions or why the act of gratitude? Once before the other, dearest, gratitude first in the why that you can even ask. The fact that you seek it all, inner gratitude, gratitude in the why, the honoring of others. Neither require words. Both speak from the heart. Let's look at the simple act of whying. Did you not witness it yesterday on a grand scale with little people and bright white smiles? Even the shyest of the children will why. They are taught at an early age, and yet it is not like the cashier at the store who asks you how you are, like a robot, and pays no attention to your answer. It is a smiling of the heart. Even the hands are placed at heart level in a universal prayer position. It is a simple act of joy, smiling on the inside, showing honor, respect from the outside. Think about this today, quiet one, as you observe the temple, the respect of elders, of wise, enlightened beings, the simple act of why. As if your heart says, why are you alive? Why? Which is it? Which comes first, the honor and respect for others or the demand for respect with guns and money? You know the answer immediately. If you have a person, people, family, friends who irritate you, why? Why? Which comes first, the honoring of them, the showing of respect to them first? Simple whys can do it. Or do you criticize them? Do you expect them to change by walking away, rolling your eyes behind their backs, or worse, retelling the toxic story. This will only bring to you more people like this. Can you stop them from their story? Maybe not, but you cannot participate. You can why them. You can send them love. Next time, why?
That was wonderful.
So take a deep breath. So it is a good day to you, huh? We are honored by the one who is now channeling Siddhartha. A step and surprise, eh? You see, each of you are channels, yet you sometimes seem to argue about that, as to what's powerful or what's present, or think, oh, I'm just making this up. You are not. It is a matter of respect for the information that you are getting. It has taken this one a few years to trust that, even though she trusted it in the beginning. You see, that is the key, is to trust. To trust and know that whatever comes through is perfect. To trust and know that in that energy, did you need to put your foot up here? To trust and know that in that focus, in that contention, in that energy is tremendous wisdom with the tiny hands whying. And you notice they paused and took that moment. They didn't just run and run on their way. They paused. And that is the importance of that. It brought to mind a story. The vessel Marilyn's been running it through her mind all day. So we wish to share it with you. There's actually several stories. But the one that came to mind is about the most enlightened monk at the top of a mountain. He was a most enlightened monk, and everyone wanted to meet him and see him because he was such a famous monk. And every year when the snows cleared, there would be a huge constant line of people, 10,000 people in line, camping overnight, staying there with their families, their children, whatever, to go up the mountain, climbing the mountain. This was before cars. Or helicopters. They would go up to the top of the mountain to see the most enlightened monk in all the land. And they would build up in their mind what that most enlightened monk would look like and how their experience with that most enlightened monk would be and how they would honor them and how they would bend and give them all kinds of money and exchange words of wisdom and receive blessings from the monk. And the monk would bless them and all of what would happen there. And as they made the trek, which may take several days or weeks, and they would come up to the top and one person would come in and this little monk would open the door and he would invite them in and the person that was standing in line would look and look and look, look in all the rooms, look all upstairs, up downstairs, where is the most enlightened monk? And the old monk would take them through all the way through the house to the back door. And they said, where is the most enlightened monk? I was here to meet them. They said, you just did. And he would close the door. For you never are. People are not what they expect. So many times there was another story of the most enlightened monk. There's a whole book about them. The most enlightened monk. And another story is very rich, wealthy, egoic businessman came up and was pushing people aside in line and says, I must see the monk today. And pushing people aside, and he could hardly walk because he was so big and heavy and had so much gold hanging off of him. And he pushed people aside, and each day when he got close to the top, the monk would close the door. And he would have to go back down to the bottom, get in line again. And by the time he did that several times, he realized that he was getting a lot of exercise. And his clothes were beginning to be baggy. And then as he was eating his big sandwiches and all of his big food, he would see families that had meager rice, and he began to share them with him. And he shared some of his wealth. He even gave some of his gold away. So then, many, many weeks, maybe months later, when he finally got up to the top, and the monk opened the door, and he said, "I don't know if you are the most enlightened monk, but you have certainly enlightened me." And he closed the door and went back down without even going through the home, because he had got what he had come for, not knowing what he had come for. You see, and that is so many times the way it works. So many times that we think we have an idea of what channeling or information or a monk is going to be like or a temple is going to be like. It is not anything like your expectation. We ask you to throw out your expectation of all people, of all beings. You have seen the gilded white and blue palaces here and there, temples, which look more like palaces. And you've seen the humble sweetness of Prajnaden's temple by the sea. That this is once again the power of one. And the alarm's going off, you can just push the bottom button. And in that capacity, that energy comes through with that simplicity. Prajnaden, Pra-William. Pra-William is not a teacher yet. He will be. Prajnaden wakes up every day saying, "Today I am a monk today. I am a monk again today." But he does not look farther than where he is right here, right now. That is why sometimes when you are finding yourself a bit impatient with, "Well, can't we go? Are we not here? I've got other things I want to do." Maybe if you stop and realize that the most enlightened moment may pass you by, if you just stop and pause and be right where you are, because there is a reason why you are right where you are. There is a reason why when you are here, that is your beginning. And in that capacity, trust. We used to draw an arrow on the floor and say, "You are here." And a step in any direction is perfect. So know that when you think of your essence, and we know that you have been, and before we leave, we're going to ask you what your essence is, as you describe, not tonight. Know that it is your monkhood. It is awakening that Buddha that is within you, awakening that wisdom that is within you. And it will, we heard everybody go, "Oh dear, what if I am wrong?" You cannot be. You cannot be. It is your essence. How can it be wrong? So breathe. Some of you have already discovered your essence.
I have.
You spoke it earlier.
I did?
Yes. So as you know that energy, you have, yes. As you know that next step, what happens? Huh? As you know, when this is your essence, everything else funnels into that. And you get to sit in the stillness. That is why we ask you tomorrow, which will be difficult, we know, to go to the temple on the mountain with all kinds of tourists and all kinds of things there, to be in stillness. Even though you love sharing all the energy with each other, to go in stillness. And with that stillness, ask for the message from the Buddha. This temple is less than 20 years old. It was being built when the vessel Marilyn stumbled upon it. There was not even anybody in the group. They had a free day. And Hare and her friend stumbled upon it and went up there, and it was not even complete. It is the Buddha that overlooks the sea and the sailors and the shipmen or shipwomen. So as you go and you sit with the giant Buddha that overlooks the sea, ask the Buddha to see within you and help you discover how to live that essence in your regular life. How to live that peace in your world that you go back home to. And by proclaiming it, it becomes real. By saying, I'm sitting in a bat cave until I see my vision. We're not asking you to sit in a bat cave. We're just asking you to see your vision. See what step you will take from this point forward. We have 3 days left to awaken the Buddha within you. We know the Buddha lives there, just as the Master Yeshua lives there. We know this. So understand that these next 3 days are for you to go inside and to sit by the sea, to play, to laugh, or to just sit, to lie in your bed and receive. For you see, that wisdom many times comes when that mind is still. So many times humans have such a difficult time helping their mind be still. Start with a few moments and allow those moments to be elongated. You have to start somewhere. Ask yourself, what is your focus? Show me the Buddha within me. Show me how I can be the Buddha. You can even chant to yourself, be the Buddha, 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 be the Buddha. What would it feel like to carry that wisdom? Granted, there are many rules that came into play. after the Buddha, just as with any practice, but the trueness of the Buddha is that peace within. So tomorrow is your mindfulness day. Conscious mindfulness. For as you are mindful of everything that goes on around you, we will sit in the stillness as a group and separately. We are choosing this experience. It may be our last together. What would you like to have accomplished if this is the last time that we will be able to sit together tomorrow? It may not be, but the next day is the big bus ride. Huh? Yay! Be mindful of that big bus ride, huh? Another time for going inside and appreciating all that happens along the road, all the busyness, all the tiny markets, all the specialty shops. This one selling lanterns, this one selling tires, this one repairing motorcycles, this one selling water. You have questions about anything. Yes.
What do you know about the astrally purebred humans?
Did you write that on your hand?
Yeah.
She's always done that. What do we know about the astrally purebred humans?
Yeah.
What are they?
Good question. Who asked the question?
Well, Crayon says it's the Jews.
Ah.
Ah, the Jews.
Yeah. And they're called the astrally purebred humans. They're the only purebred.
They are. We don't know about that part. But the Jewish race is the only race that we are aware of that once they leave that sanction, they do not return. They may be Jewish in their practice again, but that energy of purity stands with them. They came in that way. It is our opinion that Israel, Jerusalem, is the heart of this planet. And that heart opened there, which is why so many countries wish to control Jerusalem. The astrally purebred still has a few problems. When you have four Jewish people standing on a corner telling you how to reach a bank a block and a half away, they will all argue about the way you get there. True. Because they all believe that each individual beliefs are correct. There's 440 different divisions of Jewish people.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes. Maybe by now there may be 444, because they like the number better. And what we know of them, Crayon claims that all of those beings that are within Masada, that are within Jerusalem, are part of that sect Now, what we also believe is that that original sect, just like others, fragmented. The souls fragmented. So then they are reborn into others, because others are carrying the message of the one heart of the planet. Once you leave, you can never go back. Time will tell, eh? We believe that the original souls, because there's more people that are Jewish now than there were before. So how could only one breed be pure unless they're only multiplying within themselves, which they know that they cannot do? So in that capacity, know that as the soul fragments, it may move into another non-Jewish person. And that is how the world is spreading with the heart of this nation. Not that Kreon is wrong, we would never say he is. But it is a magnification of that energy. A magnification of that heart of this planet. That is now spreading round. There are many thousands, maybe millions, not billions, that their ancestors were Jewish, and they can trace it back to the beginning. And their descendants will also be Jewish. Those are those gifted individuals. They have an inner sight that they simply know who they are. They have an unusual, uncanny ability to heal, to channel, to connect in all aspects. They are not the same as any other Middle Eastern country. They are not the same as any other U.S. country, U.S. state, or Canada, or South America, or anything. Even though the people that are in the U.S. may be a part of their own culture, they are not a part of that necessarily. That we don't like the term breed. Just because it has connotations to it that might get misinterpreted. Maybe a purity of energy. And they are indeed finding themselves. That is why many Jewish people will return back to Israel or have that draw to return back to their homeland. And yet if all the Jewish people in the world returned back to their homeland of Jerusalem or their homeland of Israel, it would be overrun with people. Huh? So in that capacity, we still say that sometimes that soul fragments and moves into another, so they can be a teacher as well and carry forth the teachings of Israel. Does that answer your question? Mm-hmm. You have another question? Or have we put you to sleep, huh?
What yes. What do you mean by leave? Leave for the Jewish people. Leave when they die? Leave Israel? Leave their faith? And come back?
There are those who believe, Kreon included, that if your ancestors were Jewish, mm-hmm. and their ancestors were Jewish, and all the descendants back, and you decide you're not going to be Jewish, and you're going to marry a non-Jewish person,
okay, that's what I mean.
That, and become a Presbyterian. for lack of better. Nothing against Presbyterians, you understand, or Catholic or whatever, that you can never go back.
So you basically left the tribe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you for explaining that.
Yes. We do not know if that is the case. We have not talked to anyone who has. We know our vessel Marilyn has many lifetimes that she was Jewish. She is not now, even though many people believe that she is. Including when she was in that sixth grade, a Jewish rabbi, because she asked so many questions, because she recognized the Torah and all the symbols. She asked so many questions about it when her vacation Bible school went to visit her first temple, that the priest came up to her, or the rabbi came up to her following that and took her little face and touched her forehead and said, "You are sacred." But she's not Jewish. You understand? So you understood that answer your question?
Yes. Very, very well. Thank you.
And she remembers that moment. Thought, probably her little ego loved it too. Questions?
Along with visiting all these special places, it's pretty neat to visit with all of us here. Mm-hmm. And today, I decided I was going to ask you that a connection that I felt with somebody here. And our connector is Pegasus.
Mm.
We're not to discount whatever bubbles up. So, I mean, is it possible?
Why not? What are you saying? That it is not possible for Pegasus to connect you to someone here?
We share Pegasus together. In other words, we were both guardians of Pegasus.
How perfect. We would say that if you were going to guard anything, we would pick you. And Pegasus, we would wager, if we wagered, has a connection with many of you. How many of you have a connection to Pegasus?
Mm-hmm.
So four, huh? Including the vessel Marilyn. We were raising her hand. Maybe we should go on this side because she sits back here. Yes.
So, in different ways, we have lived lives with sort of every family, everybody here, and I don't know.
Do you not think you are here by divine appointment?
Well, no, that I know.
Do you not think that you have known these people before?
Maybe not all of them, but it's kind of growing that way.
Yes. Yes. You have all lived together before. Maybe not the same time. Maybe the same time and you did not notice them because they were the clerk in the market, or they were the person who did your hair, or the person who tied your gowns upon you, or the person who swept your floor, or the person who was your teacher or your prophet or your Pegasus minder. So know that you are now almost a family unit. You're a pod, you're a tribe, you're the people. You have a commitment to each person here. And we include the boys in that too.
whether they like it or not.
Being around this much female energy might be a bit difficult, so they need to share their testosterone, maybe. And that is all right. Because you know that in the past it has been a patriarchal society. Well, actually, before that it was a matriarchal society, then a patriarchal society, then a matriarchal society worked again, but it did not quite balance. And now there is a balance. And so it is about people finding their path, finding their way. How are they balancing the masculine and the feminine together? And it is out of balance here because there's, 12 feminine and 14 feminine and 2 masculine. So understand that they may be feeling a little bit of what happened in Lemuria. They may be feeling a little bit that the women were the shaman. The women were the teachers. The women brought forth the wisdom. And the men supported the women. And they may be looking for their place. You understand? And we know they are finding it. It may not be in the same way that you find it. But they will. They are. Now. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
You have more questions?
Well, sort of, of course. I guess I didn't think of us as a family, especially in our maybe previous lifetimes and all. So are we kind of like working things out, I guess, now, this time?
Yes. Yes. We believe that
to
you...
balance things out?
Yes. We believe that you each were all together in one lifetime.
Wow. But not necessarily related.
You were together. Maybe not related, as in blood relatives. Mm-hmm. But you were still together.
And we all knew each other?
Yes. We do believe that.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more? Mm-hmm. Mm. How we were together?
No.
No.
She knew that was coming. Can we tell you more? And we say no. But we can go into your Akash. And you can see where you were all were together. And it may not be the same lifetime. You may have been together, let us ask. Six or 16 times. Those teens get in the way sometimes. But at least 6 times that you were each together at the same place at the same time. You may have been playing different parts. You may have been in a community that you did not know each other was there. The Vetsel Maryland and the Joy took a group from Tombstone, Arizona back to the same day. And they each saw what was going on in their world at that day. So would you like to go there?
Sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Tombstone?
No. No. So let us open your Akash.
Okay.
It is our intention to open the Akashic records for each person here in this room. We are intending to open the Akash for each person here in this room. Including our boys that are not with us physically. if they choose to step into the energy. It is our intention, and we are intending to enter the Akashic Records for those who are now presently known as, and repeat your name inside of your mind. Take a deep breath. Take another deep breath. And a third deep breath. Allow your feet to be anchored. And allow your Akash to present itself any way that you can acknowledge. You may sense color, a library, a computer screen, or just vision, and know that it is all perfect. Take a deep breath. We ask to be shown any details possible of when each person was together at the same time in a most significant event in the life of each person. We are hearing it does not have to be a significant event. We ask to be shown as many details as possible for when this company, this band, this group, this divine conclave were in the same spot, in the same area, at the same time. Allow it to unfold. Allow your receptors to receive without pushing. Breathe into all possibilities. Allow things to reveal breathing. Look around. Look at what you're wearing. Look at the different players and see who you recognize. If you have a difficult time, pull back. Change your perspective. Ask for identification. Understanding and clarity. Try not to push the energy. Just allow it to be revealed. Even if you just get colors, ideas, sounds, smells. Take a deep breath. Another deep breath. And a third. We are thankful to the Akash for revealing itself in whatever way we see fit to receive it. We are thankful for the guides and teachers and angels that walked with you through that. We are thankful for the messages that you receive now and will continue to receive through the night. Feel the chair beneath you. Move your neck and shoulders about a bit. And when you're ready, open your eyes. So, What era did you get, huh?
Pioneer days.
Pioneer day.
I guess you said tombstone. You said no, but
that is one. But what else?
I got Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun. Yeah. Oh, the Egyptian ruler, Pharaoh, the youngest one, that was murdered. Ah. That is two. The vessel Merlin got somewhere in the Dark Ages, maybe 700 AD, 600 AD, right in the middle of the Crusades and all of that. So that is three.
I got way prehistory.
Ah, prehistory. Mm-hmm. That is four.
And I felt Elaine's energy.
Yes, yes.
In a flash.
What else?
I got sub-Saharan, but I don't know what time frame.
Sub-Saharan?
In the Sahara.
In the Sahara? But not Egypt.
I don't know. All I could see was a train.
Ah, so there's not
like
Egypt.
An elephant train of people and animals against the bright sun and the sand.
So elephants traveling together, trunk to tail, or a train carrying elephants?
Trunk to
tail. Mm-hmm. So that would be five.
I got a crystal building in the corner of Gaia.
A crystal building in the corner of Gaia.
Core.
In the core of Gaia. So that would be six. There may be more. So look for details. When you go into the Akash, the more you go into the Akash, the better you get at it. What do they say about being a monk? It is a practice. You can see other people here. The vessel Merlin went to the Dark Ages during the Crusades. She saw Christopher in a stockade.
Uh-oh.
She saw you. You cough when you meditate, yes? Always. Almost, yes? We saw the reason for that. You were praying for forgiveness. You were praying in prayer position. However, you were Druid. So you had your herbs and your spices and your things there, and you were then hung because of that.
And my head circled again.
Your head circled again. Even though you don't move it from side to side.
It found a way.
Yes, yes. So where did you see yourself?
Help. I don't really see anything because it's...
Or sense.
Yeah.
It's a sense. It is something about moving the head around in the circle that creates that. So we see that each one of you were in all six of those places, maybe more. So know and understand that through tonight you may get more details. When you go into the Akash, the new way to get into the Akash, it'll be 222 because that's how much the class is. It's 44 now, isn't it? That says you go into the Akashic records and you state three times what your intention is. It is my intention to enter into the Akash. For the person who is now known as, and you repeat your name, it is my intention to go into the Akash. I'm intending to go into the Akash. And you can state, show me when we were each all together, when you were all together. You may have had different parts, different aspects. You may have seen a little bit of each and tried to interpret it, which may have been uninterpretable because it was coming so quickly. Or you may have just seen color because you were looking at something right here, maybe at the back of some gown. We saw you as a child in that scene. You're sitting on someone's shoulder and thinking, how horrible. So, see, if you're looking here, we saw someone else. As a child, standing behind someone's dress, you know, holding on, looking around. So understand that each particle is still important. And you have the recording of each different existence. So you can go back and visit that time and see who you recognize. See who you sense. See how they have come away from that and what they needed to learn from that and how they can release old programs that whenever they get quiet cause them to lose their air. Does that help, huh? Any other questions before you all fall asleep? It is difficult to do a meditation this late at night.
Yes, it is.
After a long day. A wondrous day. Another wondrous day. A beautiful day of teaching, learning, gentle love. Gentle love that even after 25 years of vows, their training is still to reach out and help someone. That is the reflex of the monk to always reach out and help. We love you so much. We see you. We saw many of the parts that the vessel Marilyn went into that time period. She saw a clip of each one. Because she's been into the Akash many times and practiced on it many, many times for years. So they go like this. And she has to say, wait, slow down. Show me the way. Show you how to clear it. Show you how to sense it. You don't necessarily always see video pictures. Wouldn't that be nice? But it's a sensory experience. So through your dreams, last night we asked you to dream of your passion. Tonight you can dream of how that Akash shows up in your world now. You know, there is that old story of karma. Maybe you were the one that put Christopher and decided this young one should be hung. You're each playing a part. Take a deep breath. Arike no kamakiati. Asiko numa ae aki. Usho alik numaka. Osa aki ati aika inike inuko. O iki na inuk a iniki a inu a e a inia. Ushankinia pona. Ushankania pona. Ushankania pona. Yes, you have each been together. Part of the language that you just heard is your galactic language. Which has not yet been spoken through this body. Breathe it in. You are the love. You are the love. You are the love. Feel your passion. Feel your vision. You are the change makers on this planet. Namaste.